Chapter 13. Why do you run away from problems, Darcy? Nobody spoke these words aloud, but I heard them in my mind as clearly as if Granny Grace were sitting beside me in my red Ford Escape. Granny died when I was only 10 years old, but during those 10 years she was my best friend and confidant. And although I didn't want to think I lacked courage, she was right. When Jake died, I ran home to Mom. After the trip to Amarillo, I went to my thinking spot at Spirit Leap, and now, after last night's scare, I was running again, this time to Granny's land along the Ventris River where she once lived. Maybe it was the old fight-or-flight dilemma, and since I didn't know who or what to fight, I chose the other option. But today, I wanted to hear the sound of the wind in those giant trees, to smell the freshness of the river, and to feel the peace of nature's beauty. I needed to think about Andrea and her mother and Gary and Tom and Charlene, and then there was Grant. I should face my feelings for him and his for me, but I was actually afraid to look at them squarely. All these thoughts and emotions churning and swirling through my mind needed to be sorted out. In the quietness and stark beauty of my grandmother's home, maybe her serene spirit would calm me. The land she had loved seemed the best place to go when my own spirit needed to feel her presence. A few dark clouds were gathering in the west, and brown leaves on the trees crowding the road shivered in the brisk breeze. Indian summer never lasted long, and a cold front probably lurked just beyond the horizon. Something slithered across the road in front of me. I rolled down the window to get a better look. A rattlesnake. Of course, I knew these hills sheltered many animals, but it wasn't often that these reptiles came out of hiding. This one, though, seemed to have some place to go in a hurry. Mom offered to come with me this morning. She had, in fact, insisted. It was a good thing she hadn't come. Seeing the rattlesnake would have made her want to turn around and go back home, even if we were safely ensconced in my car. "I've just got a bad feeling, Darcy," she told me this morning. I understood because a vague apprehension clouded my own mind, but I laughed at her premonition and finally convinced her I needed some time alone after last night's trauma. So, after promising I would check in with Pat Harris at Ben's farm and soon-to-be school, which was on the way to Granny's land, she said no more. I was as curious as my mother to see what progress had been made on the Ben Ventris farm and school. Hiram Schuster, a longtime friend of my parents, oversaw the work going on. Pat Harris would be the cook, and she had definite ideas about what renovations the kitchen would need. Hopefully, her plans and my mother's would coincide. But more important to me was simply clearing my mind of fear and bewilderment. I could almost convince myself that the sounds I heard last night were simply my overactive imagination. Deep inside, though, I knew the noises were menacing. Somebody had watched me from the obscurity of the woods, and I thought someone had followed me back to my mother's house. If I hadn't been such a coward, I would have turned around to see who was behind me, but I didn't. I had focused on getting to safety as quickly as I could. Perhaps the breathing I heard had been my own. Maybe the watcher had stayed in the woods. My childhood memories of times at my grandmother's home were of peace and safety. Each time I returned to the land, I seemed to feel the joy and serenity of my Granny Grace. Going back now, even though Granny and her house were gone, still gave me the same secure feeling I had as a child. Today, I needed to be there. The dirt road narrowed at the bottom of a hill. The tires of my Escape crunched on the gravelly bottom of a small stream that flowed across the road. Water splashed against the car's underside as it crept through the shallow creek. A low roar started somewhere back in the woods. I jumped and gripped the steering wheel. What was happening? A tree crashed across the road in front of me, some of the limbs brushing my car's hood. At the same time, it felt as if a giant hand shook the escape. I lurched forward, banging my head on the steering wheel. Something weird was moving, something violent. I turned off the ignition and grasped the door handle. Should I get out of the car? Should I not? The ground under me shuddered, and the rutted road heaved up and down as if a giant snake slithered beneath the surface. The rumble stopped as suddenly as it began. No wind stirred the leaves now. Nature seemed to hold her breath. What had happened? Slowly, the truth dawned on me. An earthquake. Incredible, but true. I had never experienced one, but there was no other explanation. Somewhere in the depths of the earth, an unstoppable force moved, and nature bent before it. My car door did not want to open, and my arms seemed to have turned to water. After three tries, I was able to creep out of the SUV. I clung to it for support. Drawing a ragged breath, I pressed my palms together to stop their shaking. The tree blocked the road in front of me, but behind me the road looked clear. Backing up was my only option until I could find a spot wide enough to turn around. Then a terrifying thought hit. Earthquakes don't happen in isolation. Levi itself was bound to have been shaken. And Mom, what of her? Was she and her house safe? I started to climb back into my car. Miss Darcy, wait, don't go. The sumac bushes parted, and a large young man rushed toward me. I rubbed my eyes. Jasper Harris, what in the world are you doing out in these woods?
Never mind that, he said. We've got to get to that school of Ben's. My mother is there. We just had an earthquake. Did you know that? I didn't know we had earthquakes around here. Maybe Mom was hurt. Come on, we've got to hurry. Now, Miss Darcy, you're wasting time.
He trotted to the passenger side of the car and opened the door. I slid in behind the steering wheel.
In case you didn't notice, Jasper, that tree is bigger than we are. I don't think I can plow through it.
Never mind, he said, his voice an octave higher than usual. Back up. There's an old wagon road down there apiece. I know a shortcut to the school.
Putting the SUV into reverse, I inched back the way I had come. Jasper pointed to a wide spot between two trees.
There it is. Turn, right there.
Visions of scrape marks along my new car passed before my eyes. I was particularly careful with it since my old one took a tumble down Deer Track Hill last spring. So far, the shiny paint of this car bore no scratches. I wanted to keep it that way. I shook my head. Jasper, that trail is fine and dandy for skinny wagons and horses. If you'll notice, this Ford is a bit wider, and I have no intention of putting creases in it. He grabbed the door handle.
Well, then, scoot over and let me drive.
Was he serious? I snorted. That'll be the day. We crept along the old ruts, limbs brushing metal. Please, Lord, I prayed, just get us safely through. Jasper frowned at me.
Hurry up, Miss Darcy, go faster. I could run this fast.
I gritted my teeth. Be my guest. Jasper pointed out the side window.
That there's a shortcut to the Worth Ranch.
Leaves had nearly covered the faint marks of a trail.
How do you know that, Jasper?
He pointed to his head.
I know lots of things that nobody else knows. It's best to keep some things a secret. Safer.
What things? Why do you say that? Do you know something about the Worth family?
Who was it suggested I talk to Jasper? Somebody at Dilly's? He shook his head.
Hurry, Miss Darcy. The school is just up ahead.
The roof of Ben Ventress's old barn appeared through the trees. I turned in the direction Jasper pointed and was in the Ventress pasture with the house a short distance ahead of us. The buildings all looked intact to me. And when Pat came out on the porch to hug her son, she confirmed that there had been no damage.
Just some paint cans knocked off shelves and a scared cook. Me. Darcy, you go on home and make sure Flora is all right. Jasper, you ride home with me. I hope my house doesn't have cracks in the foundation. Earthquakes in Oklahoma. Heavens, what will happen next?
That was a question I didn't ask anymore because it seemed that another disaster lurked around every corner waiting to pounce. Taking Jasper's shortcut might be quicker than the roundabout way of the county road. At least I knew there were no trees across the old wagon rut. I couldn't relax until I knew my mother was unharmed. Since everything at the Ventress farm was safe, hopefully the buildings and people in Levi were all right too. Whispering a prayer for Mom's safety, I headed back through the woods the way Jasper and I had come. The clouds had gathered forces, and a light rain fell as my car eased through the shadowy woods. The headlights beamed a tunnel through the crowding trees. Out of the corner of my eye, I glimpsed something. A long, tawny brown something, which glided directly into my path, then stopped and turned its head toward me. The lights of the escape glinted on yellow eyes. My heart turned over, and my breath caught in my throat. I was looking at the biggest cat I had ever seen. A snatch of remembered conversation with Amy came to my mind. Animal legends, panthers in the thickest part of the woods. In front of me stood one of those legends. My hands shook as I checked my doors to be sure they were locked. For a few seconds, the cat stared at the car, then, with the infinite grace of the wild, he sprang into a thicket and vanished. An unearthly scream rose and fell from a hidden spot among the trees. My scalp prickled, and the hairs rose on my arms. Many years ago, my dad told me that the cry of a panther sounded like the blood-curdling shriek of a woman. He was right. My breath coming in short gasps, I gripped the steering wheel with sweaty palms. I always drove carefully, taking care not to stress the engine, but at that moment, all I wanted to do was leave these gloomy woods behind me. I gunned the motor and bounced over that trail probably faster than anybody had ever traveled it. Upon reaching the road, I broke all speed limits, getting back to the safety of civilization.